May it please the Lord to help us this evening as we continue our meditation in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. And this evening we'll speak on verses 10, 11, and 12. So it's the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew in verses 10, 11, and 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. These two verses really combine together, and they direct us to observe that there will be that persecution for those who walk a God-honoring life, and also there will be that reviling and persecution and all manner of evil spoken against the people of God. But in both of those situations, there is a wonderful looking forward and a wonderful outcome. In the first and the tenth verse, we're told, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then in the 12th verse, you'll rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So the Lord is setting before us really the scene which the people of God should expect to encounter, and the difficulties and the trials and the oppositions in this life, but to look beyond this life to that eternal state in glory. And you see, this should therefore put things in a right perspective. And we should never think that our life on this earth is going to be an easy one, because a true Christian's life, it never has been and never will be an easy one. There is opposition, there is persecution, and we are reviled, and we do hear and have all manner of evil spoken against us falsely. But you see, the blessing is, firstly, if we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, and secondly, if all these things are for my sake. So what a blessing it is to be found doing those things which are for the sake and favour of Almighty God, that our souls might be blessed. Now, the Word of God has many verses and many accounts to encourage us and to prove that such words as this are indeed true. Sometimes we read things and we pass over them a bit rapidly and don't really absorb them, but these words are indeed very, very true. And if we turn to the Hebrews, that well-known chapter, the 11th chapter, that tells us so much about the glorious situation of faith, as we come towards the end of that chapter, we're told, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, not unrighteousness, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And then we read, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Surely that mirrors what we've spoken here in these verses. And then he says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promises, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Well, we have then that great testimony in that 11th chapter of the Hebrews to encourage us today to recognize that there will be this persecution and there will be opposition, but it will have a good end. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It doesn't say blessed are they which are persecuted. Many people are persecuted today for doing things which are justly wrong. But here we have this statement, which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And therefore, when we are persecuted like this, to look ahead and realize there is a blessed favor to come, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Apostle John, he tells us, marvel not, my brethren, that the world hate you. You see, if we're a friend of the world, there won't be any hatred, will there? But you see, if you and I walk uprightly in this world, setting a Christ-like example, there will be those who will point their finger at us and who will criticize us and mock us. But let us not forget the great favor that there will be an end to these things, and there will be this great and glorious blessing that we can rejoice in and be exceeding glad, because there is a reward in heaven, not because what we have done, but because of the grace that God has given to us to be able to follow his way. And then the Apostle Peter tells us something which is really important to remember. And in the first epistle and in the second chapter and towards the end, we're told, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, those who oppose. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, that this is acceptable with God. Well, that's an important word from the Apostle Peter, to realize that when we do well and we're criticized for it, and then we don't reject, we then carry on peaceably and graciously. What a mercy that is, because it's then fulfilling this word, and we can realize that such a position, we are numbered amongst those who are blessed, who are indeed persecuted, and those who endure all manner of evil against us falsely. Well, there are those statements which are false, and it's good to realize that the Lord is with us in these situations, and he shows and gives his grace in these times of need. Naturally, we don't want to bow down to such criticism and such opposition, especially when it's wrong. But what a favor when we're given the grace of some of these previous statements to live peaceably and to have a pure heart and to be merciful in these situations. Well, that's the statement of the Apostle Peter. And of course, the Old Testament also tells us the truth of these things. And in Jeremiah tells us, he says, wherefore came I forth out of the womb? What was the reason for that? To see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? He didn't expect that situation. But you see, that is really the lot of the people of God. And the reason it is so that we realize that we don't have a home on this earth, or at least not a permanent home. We'll be thankful for our natural homes, but let us be looking forward to that home which the Lord has gone before to provide for his people. And then in the second epistle to the Chronicles, the very last verse, just before we come on to Ezra, and of course the verses in the beginning of Ezra repeat the verses at the end of that second book of the Chronicles. And there we read, but they mocked the messengers of God. See, those who were ungodly, they mocked the messengers of God. And people today mock the messengers of God outwardly. Some people mock the messengers of God inwardly. They appear to be all right, but they mock them inwardly. They don't really receive the word of God. But they mock the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against the people till there was no remedy. Now we know, of course, the solemn position that occurred then. They were taken captive and went down to Babylon for those 70 years. But there we have the picture of those who did walk in a godly way. And they were mocked and they were despised. You see, things haven't really changed, have they, from that time. And then we have the evidence of God's servants in the Acts of the Apostles. And of course, we've gone through that recently, and what a wonderful record it is of God's favour and of God's mercy to the Church of God and to the apostles and those with them in those days. And as we come down towards the end of that seventh chapter, in Acts of the Apostles, we read these words of Stephen as he gave that wonderful testimony. And he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been, now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Now you see, this cut those people to the heart. This great truth that Stephen was able to tell them of, how they'd reacted, how they were reacting, and how their forefathers had reacted, and they were no different. Well, we know, of course, that they were so angry at that position that they stoned Stephen, and they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him in one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Well, that was a very wonderful fulfillment, really, of this word. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a clear demonstration, the fulfillment of that word there was in the life of God's servant Stephen. And, well, we could run through many occasions in the Acts of the Apostles. We've already done that, of course, in our studies, but perhaps just one more reference in the Acts of the Apostles, and that's chapter 17, and chapter 17, verses 6 to 7, which reads, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there be another one, Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. But you see, Jason had been taken captive for doing those things which were right and God-honoring. So we should perhaps today, we don't see it so much, do we, here in our country, there's so much ease, but we have observed, haven't we, just in these last few days with those street preachers who are persecuted for speaking the truth of God, the word of God. They were only quoting the very word of God in the King James Version, and because people were offended against it, and people will be offended by the word of God. But it is righteous words which are being spoken, and we should never be ashamed, we should never be afraid to speak the word of God, because the word of God is the very word of God, which is that which God has ordained to bring people to salvation. So let us not think that such verses are only appropriate for that which is past. They have always been appropriate, and none less than they are today. To a large extent, of course, in our nation, we've been exempted from these kind of things. But it may be that the day is drawing far nearer than we thought, when there may be much persecution that we may have to endure. And if it does come to us, let us remember this great and glorious truth, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, that's the outcome. Our life on this earth is fast passing away. It's just a very short life, and then an eternal life of happiness and bliss with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul knew the truth of these things, and he tells us, as it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And that's what it appeared. But he goes on to say, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You see, what a blessing it is to be a conqueror, not in our strength. We're more than conquerors through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, his great and glorious finished work, the great price he paid on the cross at Calvary when he died that sin atoning death and shed his most precious blood, so that you and I have the hope, and the good hope it is, of eternal life. And we can indeed thank God for such a truth as this. Then the apostle, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he tells us in the second epistle and the first chapter, he tells us this truth, which is following on really. He says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." There's a wonderful balancing here. You see, if we don't know fellowship with his sufferings, we won't know the consolation. And if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. That's the blessing, isn't it? And that's what, by God's grace, you and I can look forward to with a gracious anticipation of that which the Lord has gone to prepare for his people. And finally, the little epistle of James, where in the last chapter, the 10th verse, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy." So James also brings this to our attention. Well, let us ponder these things and realize, as the Lord himself said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." That's not something which you and I would naturally do if we're persecuted and if we're reviled, and if people speak all manner of evil against us falsely, yet here is this wonderful truth that we can meditate on and rejoice in the wonderful favour. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And what do? We're joining hands with those who've gone before, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Well, it's a great privilege, isn't it, to be numbered with the living church of God. And may we indeed desire to be numbered with them now and through eternity. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen.